Can you turn with me, please, in your Bible to the book of Isaiah this evening? Book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. Philip had thanked you for providing food. The only person that isn't thanking the martyrs for providing food is the waistband. We've been in outreach now for 2 weeks, and dessert every day certainly makes the waistband just stretch that little bit more. But we're good. We are glad to have you, and trust that God will bless us as we read his word. Isaiah chapter 38, if you're looking for Isaiah, if you go to the Psalms, and then Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. We're in chapter 38. I want to read most of the chapter, and we read there in verse 1. And of Isaiah chapter 38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will skip down to verse 9 just for the sake of time. Verse 9, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs, and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Amen. We'll end the reading there, and we trust that God will bless it. We want to look really at most of the chapter, pick out just a few things, take a little synopsis, a bird's eye view of it. But before we come to do so, we'll just bow in prayer and ask for God for his help and his presence. If you're in the meeting tonight, not a Christian, or you are a Christian, I encourage you just to pray that the Lord might speak to you just now. Lord, we come before thee again, and we just thank thee so much that we can say, like Hezekiah, that thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, that thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. We thank thee, O God, for those who can read their titles clear, forgiven. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We pray for those who have not had that experience, the forgiveness of sins. We pray, Lord, that tonight might be the night, that just like Hezekiah, that they too would set their house in order. Lord, we pray for that soul preparation this evening. Pray that thou wilt close us in now with thyself. Shut us in with God. Pray for this sanctuary that you'll make it a haven for the Holy Spirit. Come down, Lord, and bless us. We expect thee to speak to us. This is thy word, the living word. And so, Lord, come and speak to us out of the book. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, towards the end of the verse, prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah the king, and he says, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." In verse 3, towards the end of the verse, "And Hezekiah wept sore." "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And Hezekiah wept sore. Henry Goodyear lived in London in the days of the great preacher, a Baptist preacher, Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It said that Henry Goodyear, he was a millionaire 10 times over. Now, in the late 1800s, that it was a lot of money, and that was a huge amount of money. This man, Henry Goodyear, he was a very ungodly man. He was a millionaire, a lot of money, but a very ungodly man, and he literally lived for living it up. However, this man was privileged because he had a young Christian niece who went along to hear Spurgeon preach every Sunday in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And she was burdened for her uncle, Henry, and she would always pray for him and always pester him and invite him to the meetings. And to her surprise, one day, Mr. Goodyear, he actually said he would come. He would come to hear the great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, preach. The service was about to start. You imagine you're there. When all of a sudden, one of the deacons got up into the pulpit and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say this, but C.H. Spurgeon, Mr. Spurgeon, will not be along to the meeting to preach this evening. He's suddenly taken ill. And one of our deacons, he'll be standing in instead." The young girl's heart, well, it sank. She wanted her uncle to hear the great preaching of Spurgeon so much. And she cried up and lifted up her heart to God and said, "Lord, why is this happening?" The meeting went on. The deacon got up to speak. He opened his Bible at Genesis chapter 5. And before he did the reading, and then before he came to preach, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to leave with you two things this evening from Genesis chapter 5. I want you to see how he lived and how he died." He had announced his topic. He was about to start preaching. When he too, the deacon, he also had taken ill, and he had to be helped down from the pulpit and carried out of the tabernacle. And the elders came and the meeting was stopped. By this time, the girl's heart, well, she was vexed. You can imagine her, what she was thinking. Spurgeon had taken ill, and now the deacon who was standing in, he too had taken ill. And all he got saying was these four words: "He lived and he died. He lived and he died." And they then headed home from the meeting, and the girl was a bit worried. But the uncle, Henry, Mr. Goodyear, the millionaire, well, he never said a word. Because all he could think about was these words, this four-word phrase: "He lived and he died." He got home, he was pacing up and down the living room, and he just couldn't get these words out of his mind. He lived and he died. He decided he would try and sleep it off. He went up to bed, but he couldn't sleep. The next day came, these words were still speaking to him, penetrating his heart. He lived and he died. Eventually giving up, he lifted his heart up to God and he said, "Lord, I know he lived and I know he died, but that's not the whole message. That's not the whole message." The little girl, unbeknown to her uncle, well, she had been praying for him the whole time. And eventually, being distraught for his soul, Mr. Goodyear, he went to his niece, and his niece, she told him the rest of the message. She told him how he could live forever in heaven. You see, in thinking about his death, he prayed to the Lord, and then he prepared to meet his Lord. You see, whilst we must all face death, yet you this evening must personally prepare for your death. Like Hezekiah, you must set your house in order, for you too shall die. And I want to ask you a very simple question this evening. Are you prepared for the day of your death? Have you set your house in order? Have you set not only your temporal house, your furnishings, your things, but have you set your eternal house in order? Have you set your soul in order this evening before Almighty God? Here before us, we read in Isaiah chapter 38 about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a godly king, and he was one of Israel's greatest kings. And he's here in the midst of his reign when Isaiah comes to him suddenly and unexpectedly, and he just says, "Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die." In other words, what he's saying is, "Hezekiah, set your family in order. Set your family affairs in order, for soon you are to die." How did Hezekiah respond to this news? Well, verse 3 tells us, and we read it this evening, Hezekiah wept sore. Hearing this terrible news that he was soon to die, that he had to set his house in order, well, it drove him to pray. It drove him to pray to God and ask him for deliverance. And I wonder if you were to receive this message this evening, if someone was to come to you and say, "Set your house in order, for thou shalt die," how would you respond? I want to ask you, would you party, would you panic, or would you pray like Hezekiah? Hezekiah received this message from Isaiah, "Set thine house in order." How did Hezekiah respond? Well, he prayed. He prayed for deliverance. He prayed that the Lord would preserve his life. And so I want us to look at Hezekiah as he's presented before us this evening. And I want to consider Hezekiah under the subject, and listen to it, near to death, yet praying for deliverance. Near to death, yet praying for deliverance. There are three things that I want us to think about Hezekiah this evening. I'll give them to you just now. Hopefully we'll get through them, but it'll just let you know and let you follow on with the message. The three things that I want us to think about in thinking about Hezekiah, I want us to consider his portrayal. His portrayal. Hezekiah's portrayed, or he's depicted before us as a man who is unprepared. His portrayal, but notice also his prayer. His prayer. His portrayal, his prayer. We also want to think this evening, and thank God this is here, about his preservation. His preservation. Hezekiah, near to death, yet praying for deliverance. Let's then notice firstly his portrayal. In these verses, Hezekiah is portrayed before us and presented to us. It's believed that he was only 39 years old at this stage, and yet he was to contract a sickness that would literally kill him in a matter of days. His portrayal, he's portrayed before us. He's portrayed before us as two things. He's portrayed as unsuspecting. Unsuspecting. I say that because in verse 1, we read there, Isaiah said to him, "Thou shalt die and not live." King Hezekiah, he ascended the throne of Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, when he was just 25 years old. And as the portion we read this evening, we now find him that he's in the 14th year of his reign. So the mathematicians in the meeting this evening, you'll be able to add 25 to 14 and get 39. And at just at 39 years of age, he was to contract a sickness, a terrible disease that would kill him within a matter of days. We read about that in verse 21. In verse 21, we read there that it is called a boil. Now this boil, it's believed that what it's referring to is a special type of leprosy. This type of leprosy would come upon the skin. It would cover the skin in black scales. And whenever it was contracted, the recipient only had a matter of days to live. King Hezekiah, he was a young king. He was a godly king. He was just 39 years of age. He was in the prime of his life. And then he was to receive this news that he was to contract a sickness and would kill him in a matter of days. He didn't expect it to happen to him. He was unsuspecting. In verse 12, he said, "Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent." The shepherd, he's not like us. We have a permanent house. The shepherd has a temporary house or a tent. And the shepherd is known for taking his tent down suddenly and then moving on. And Hezekiah, he said that his life was taken from him suddenly. His life was to be taken from him suddenly. Like the shepherd taking down his tent and then moving on. Hezekiah, he was just 39. And then he was to receive this message that he was going to die suddenly. He received it at a time when he least expected it. And this evening, death comes to us at times when we most expect it, but at other times when we least expect it. God may take you into eternity at a time when you least expect it. God might just take you one day suddenly into eternity at a time, young person, when you don't expect it. Hezekiah, he was just 39, and then he was to receive this message. Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. And I wonder if the Lord was to take you suddenly this evening, how would you stand before him? I wonder, are you prepared? Have you made that personal preparation? Have you prepared to meet the Lord? Have you personally set your house in order? For thou shalt die. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 25 that we are met there by a wicked man named Nabal. Nabal was a farmer. He had a huge farm and he had many workers. And if you read in the background to that, you'll discover that as they were in the wilderness of Maon, his workers, that David also looked after, King David looked after his workers. And so one day, David comes to Nabal, and he asks him basically to return the favor. Yet this man, Nabal, he was very selfish, and he declined. And Nabal went on about his business in the rest, and you read about that in the rest of the chapter. And yet in 1 Samuel chapter 25, in the verse 38, we read these solemn words, that it came to pass after 10 days that the Lord smote Nabal and that he died. The previous verse to it, where you discover that Nabal, he was just going about his business. He was drinking wine. He was living it up. He was having a good time. And then the Lord, he came and he took him suddenly. He took him at a time when he least expected it. And whilst at times death can be prolonged and even prepared for, yet at other times, death can be unforeseen and unpredicted. It can come to you just in an instant. Can't be predicted. It can come to you at a time when you least expect it. I want to ask you, should it come to you unexpectedly, are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you set your house in order? Have you prepared to meet the Lord? And this has been pressed home to me because just a few weeks ago in Newton Ards, I'm sure you saw it in the news, just the night before A-level results were released, we heard, and it was all the business in Newton Ards where I live, there was a young girl, and she was driving along that windy road from Newton Ards to Portaferry. And the young girl, she was still in our plates. She was driving along, and then she was in an accident. And she was taken into eternity. And sadly, she never received her A-level results. And her car sadly ended up in Strangford Lock. She was just 18. Didn't expect it. I wonder, are you like Hezekiah, unsuspecting? Don't really think that it could happen to you. It's solemn, but it could. He was unsuspecting. Notice also, he was unprepared. That's why Isaiah came to him and said in verse 1, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In the original, the idea of these words are that we are to prepare or give attendance to our family, or Hezekiah's family. You see, Hezekiah, he was the king, and he was in the middle of his life. And now that he was told he was to die soon, he had to make arrangements. He had to set his family in order that who would replace him as the king. And this is important, because Hezekiah, importantly, did not yet have a son. And so he was to prepare his son. He was to set his family, to set his house in order. He was to choose who would succeed him as the king. Otherwise, the nation would descend into anarchy. And he hadn't done this. He hadn't set his house in order. He hadn't a son to replace him. And he was unprepared for his death. And because your death may be sudden, then this evening you should be set. You should be prepared for the day of your death. But whilst Hezekiah, he hadn't set his temporal affairs in order, yet he had set the most important thing in order. Verse 3 tells us that Hezekiah, he was a Christian. In verse 3 we read concerning Hezekiah that he had walked before God with a complete heart. I wonder, can you say that this evening? Can you say, I have walked before God with a complete heart? That I have lived for God? Hezekiah, he hadn't set his house in order. And whilst you must settle your temporal affairs, yet more importantly this evening, you must settle your eternal affairs. You must not face the day of your death unprepared to face the Lord. I wonder this evening, if the Lord was to come to you at a time when you didn't expect it, would you be prepared? Have you set your house in order? Have you prepared to meet the Lord? I want to ask you a question this evening. Are you ready or are you unready? Are you set or are you scared? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? You know, speaking about the end times and the time of the Lord drawing nigh, the Apostle Paul takes up his pen and he addresses the church at Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 2, speaking about the end, the Lord coming again, he said, "The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." Now, nobody here expects a thief to come in the middle of the night. You wouldn't expect him to rap on your door. No, he comes unexpectedly. And Paul is teaching here the church at Thessalonica that the Lord's second coming, it'll be unexpected. It'll come as a thief in the night. And the following verse tells us that whilst the Lord will come unexpectedly, that there'll be those who will cry out, "Peace and safety." And we read sadly that sudden destruction shall come upon them. And the thought of the verse literally there is, as they are crying out, "Peace and safety," as the Lord is coming down, just as the Lord was come, then sudden destruction would come upon them. Christ would come at a time when they aren't prepared. I wonder this evening, are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you repented from your sin? Have you realized tonight that you have sinned before God? Turn from your sin, look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you prepared to meet the Lord? Woody Allen said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." The reality of it is, when you look at that statement, he is afraid to die. And he's afraid to die because he was afraid to die because he was unprepared. Do you see Hezekiah? We're building this picture up. He hadn't set his house in order. His portrayal, he was unsuspecting and he was unprepared. Notice secondly his prayer. In verse 3 we read, "Hezekiah wept sore." In realizing that his day of death was soon to come, he turned his face towards the wall and he prayed towards God. And as if you were following the reading, you'll read that in verse 9 onwards, you'll discover that Hezekiah, after he recovered of his sickness, he looked back and he basically recorded what his thoughts and what his prayer was. And so really from verse 9 till the end of the chapter, it is Hezekiah recording his prayer. I say that because verse 9 says, "The writing of Hezekiah when he was sick." And so as we look at this prayer, we don't want to look at all the verses, obviously, but again, we just want to draw two thoughts from the prayer. Notice that he acknowledged his situation. In verse 17, we read, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." And the word bitterness here, it really is intense. And it, in the Hebrew, it appears twice. It could literally be read, "Bitterness to me, bitterness." He is here saying that it was intense sorrow. As he heard the news that he was about to die suddenly, it moved him to bitterness. And then in realizing this, he acknowledged his situation. He came to prayer and he acknowledged it. He didn't try to put it to the back of his mind. Didn't try to go about his business and not think about it. No, he acknowledged his situation, that he was soon to die before the Lord. He recognized that his sickness would lead to death. You see, that it is not enough to know that you will die sometime in the future, but you must recognize it. You must acknowledge it and prepare for it in the present. Hezekiah, he realized that his sickness, that boil, that terrible plague that he was to contract, that it would lead to his death, his physical death. And this evening, you must recognize that you have another disease, that you have another sickness. It's called sin. And because of sin, it will lead to your eternal death. You too will suffer the eternal death. God will punish you this evening for your sin. And I wonder if you come to that position, just like Hezekiah, will you acknowledge this? And will you pray to God about it? And you acknowledge your situation before him. Do you recognize this evening that your sin will lead to the second death, that because of your sin, you will be lost and burn in hell forever and forever. Don't try and cover up the situation. David, as he sinned before the Lord, as he sinned with Bathsheba, about a year later on from that, he wrote Psalm 32. And in verse 5, he faced up to the situation. In Psalm 32, verse 5, we read, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid." David, he didn't try and hide or conceal his sin or cover it up. No, he just came before God in prayer and acknowledged his sin. You see, God doesn't want you to cover or to conceal your sin. No, he wants you this evening to confess your sin, to come before God and to acknowledge your sickness. Here's Hezekiah. He acknowledged his situation. He acknowledged his sickness before Almighty God. He said, "Bitterness to me, bitterness." Oh, it made him feel bitter. Thomas Carlyle, you know, Thomas Carlyle, he had a great upbringing. He lived in about the 1800s. He had very strict Christian parents, but as he got on in life, he didn't follow their faith. And coming to death, he said these words. He said, "I'm as good as without hope. I'm a sad old man gazing into the final chasm." And whilst he acknowledged his condition, acknowledged that he was soon to die, acknowledged that he was a sad old man, he did nothing about it. Is that you this evening? Near to death, yet doing nothing about it. Here's Hezekiah. He acknowledged his situation. Notice also in his prayer, and I want you to follow this, that he asked for a surety. Or another word would be safety. But he asked for a surety. In verse 14, the second part of the verse, we read these simple words. "O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake," underline that word, "undertake for me." The phrase here, "undertake for me," could literally be read, "be my surety." In other words, he was asking, as he was near to death, he was asking God for a surety. Now you may have asked the question this evening, well, what is a surety? Well, a surety is just simply somebody who steps in on behalf of a guilty party and pays all of that they owe. Whilst they are guilty, yet somebody steps in on their behalf and he pays their penalty, and as a result, they are set free. Hezekiah, he views his sickness unto death like a bailiff that had arrested him and is carrying him to the prison house of death. And as he's being carried away, he appeals to the judge. He appeals to the judge and he asks the judge that he would undertake for him. Or in other words, he said, "Lord, give me a surety." He appeals to the judge that somebody might rescue him from the bail of his, from bail him from death. He asked for somebody to stand in on his behalf. He asked for a surety. And whilst you're near to death, yet you can pray for deliverance. You too this evening, in realizing your sickness, in realizing that your sickness of sin will lead to your eternal death, you can ask for a surety. You can ask for somebody to stand in on your behalf. You can ask for somebody who has paid the penalty. You can ask for somebody who would undertake for you in the day of your death. You know who I'm speaking about, don't you? Of course you do. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, by his cross on the death, he can be your personal surety. He died in your place. He died to take your sin, your sickness of sin. He was the innocent one without guilt, and yet he had your sin imputed to him. And in order to take him as your surety, you must recognize firstly that he is the only one who could stand in your place, that he is the only surety, that he is the only one who can undertake for you. And then secondly, just ask him to be your surety. Acknowledge that he's the only surety. He's the only one that can undertake for you. But then just say, "Lord, be my surety." Like Hezekiah, you can say, "Lord, undertake for me. Lord, come and stand in my place. Lord, be my surety." And you know this idea of a surety, it's not just here, it's in many places in the scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 122, I love these words. The psalmist here, he's facing his enemies. His enemies are persecuting him. And he says, "Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me." And the psalmist here, like Hezekiah, He is oppressed. His enemies are oppressing him. And he asked that the Lord might be his surety. In other words, he said, Lord, stand beside me. Fight my battles. Be my surety. Undertake for me. But it's not enough this evening just to recognize Christ as your surety. No, you must then receive him. Receive him and let him undertake for you. Have you done that this evening? Have you asked for one who is well able to stand in your place? Have you asked this evening the Lord Jesus Christ to be your surety? Do you see Hezekiah? He's a man who's near to death, yet he prays. He prays and he says, Lord, undertake for me. Lord, be my surety. Have you done that this evening? His portrayal, his prayer. Notice lastly and finally, his preservation. Hezekiah, he asked for deliverance from his disease, which was leading to death. And thank God the Lord answered that prayer and delivered him and preserved him from his death. Notice again about his preservation, two things. Notice that his days were prolonged. In verse 5 we read, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Notice it. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Now this is perhaps the only instance in Scripture where we have a man who will know exactly when he will die. And why God told him that his days would be prolonged and how long he had to live, we'll never know. But it just shows us that God is a hearer and answerer of prayer. And Hezekiah, as he asked for his life to be preserved, the Lord gave him another 15 years. He said, I will add unto thy days 15 years. The Lord preserved Hezekiah from impending death. And if you request deliverance, then thank God this evening you'll receive deliverance. You ask for one to stand in on your behalf. You ask for one to undertake for you, and he will. He will. We can say that from Hezekiah, because his days were prolonged. His days were prolonged. Notice lastly that his disease was purified. In verse 21 we read that Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. The phrase there, let for a plaster, it literally just means to rub or to anoint. A lump of dry figs caked together was taken and it was rubbed upon Hezekiah's disease. And historians tell us that these figs caked together, they were used as a medicine to reduce inflammation. Hezekiah, his disease was cleansed, and he was preserved from his certain death. And Christ redeems you not only from the sentence of your sin, but also from the stain of your sin. While standing in your place on the day of your death, he also forgives your sin. I love that verse, what Hezekiah was able to say in verse 17. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Notice it. He has cast all my sins behind thy back. His sins were forgiven. Do you see Hezekiah this evening as a man who is near to death, yet praying for deliverance? Isaiah came to Hezekiah, told him that he was to die, that he was to set his house in order, for he was soon to die. And this drove Hezekiah to prayer. And he prayed that the Lord might give him life. And God answered that prayer and gave him life. And I trust this evening that there's nobody in here who hasn't set their house in order. For one day, you too shall die. I trust this evening that you have prepared, like Amos told us, prepare to meet thy God. I trust that you've prepared, that you have set your house in order, just like Hezekiah. May God bless his word to each of our hearts.
Thank you, Julian. We'll just unite our hearts together as we pray, just to close our meeting. You seek the Lord now in prayer. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight about setting your house in order. The Lord has spoken faithfully. The Lord has spoken tonight. No man has promised tomorrow. We saw even through illustrations tonight of the Lord's message of how a soul was taken into eternity, and that could be you. I trust tonight that you'd come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sin, to have all your sin cast behind his back. You can leave here tonight knowing that the burden of your sin can be lifted, can be rolled away. and we trust that you'll come and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This meeting's not about the students. It's all about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word. We thank thee, O God, for the instruction of thy word. And Lord, we thank thee for what we've learnt tonight about Hezekiah. We thank thee, O God, for what thou didst do in his life. And O God, we pray tonight as thy servant Julian has preached out his soul to men and women tonight. Lord, we pray unto thee that souls would come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to realize, O God, death is the great equalizer. Realize, O God, the wages of sin is death. But O God, we thank thee that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank thee tonight that men and women could look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only surety of the soul. And O God, we pray tonight and rejoice that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Lord, we pray that men and women would come and give their life afresh to thee. We thank thee for those tonight who are able to say that they are saved, that they are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yea, Lord, they can say, I'm going home to glory soon to see this city bright. But, O God, we pray for those who are not prepared to meet their God. Father, help them not to sleep tonight. Lord, keep them up all night until they've come down and said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, do us good, O God, now we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.